Well, on this evening, it is good for us and right to pause and to look at God's Word and reflect on the significance of Good Friday, its importance to us and to our faith. Over 700 years before the death of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah wrote to Israel about one called the Servant of the Lord. In four separate prophetic songs, Isaiah introduces this servant and the servant's ministry. And our reading tonight from Isaiah 52 and 53 comes from the fourth song about this servant. And it helps us further understand the significance and the meaning of Good Friday. So let me read this to you now that we may hear God's word and reflect upon it together. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. This is God's word given for us. As I mentioned, our passage introduces the servant of the Lord. And I want us to think tonight about who this servant is and the significance of his work. Our passage that was printed here starts by introducing us, saying, behold, that this servant shall be lifted up, that he shall be exalted, and that he shall prosper. And it concludes by telling us about the nature of what his work will bring about. The reason he should be exalted is because by his work, the servant will make many righteous. He will bear their iniquities, and they will be declared righteous because of him. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the people of God longed for and waited for this servant, for God's agent of salvation. And tonight we gather and we confess and we remember that this servant is Jesus. Jesus Christ, God in flesh, the one who was betrayed, arrested, slandered, rejected, made to suffer, and finally put to death on the cross, we confess that in this cross, that it's possible that you and I, by faith, may be declared righteous by God. It is our salvation and the salvation of the world. As I said, our passage talks about the servant's work, that he will make many righteous, and so it's worth us looking and ask, how does he do this work? And I hope that you could see here, but also throughout the reading tonight, that he engages in what we might call a transfer of our sin and our guilt onto himself, that he stands in our place. We can read that he has borne our griefs, carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquity. He was carrying our sorrows and being crushed for our iniquities. As a result of that, we receive peace and healing. What some call the great gospel exchange, that we give to God our sin and he gives us healing and peace. And as a result, we are declared righteous before God. Might be obvious, but it's worth us noting and paying attention again that this is because of our sin that he is crushed, not because of his. Because of our iniquity that he is pierced, not because of his sin, but yours and mine. And so if we reflect on this work that the servant does, it's also an opportunity, an invitation for us to see how this passage speaks about you and me. Why was this sacrificial work, why was this transferring work necessary? Well, we hear in Isaiah that all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to our own way. That's a helpful image for us to think about our lives. Iniquity meaning that crookedness, leaving the right path, that transpressing means that we go beyond what is our rights, that we go beyond God's word or go beyond God's law in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions. And why we see our sin maybe in specific acts or specific thoughts or specific words, the image of the sheep going astray is a reminder that our soul is one that's conditioned by sin, that we turn to go our own way. And this song tonight invites us to think about what that looks like, what the effect is when you and I choose to go our own way. First, we can see that turning our own way brings separation. In our turning and going astray, profound separation and breaks occur. The separation is deep and covers all parts of our life, separation with God, separation with others, with creation, and even within ourselves. Reflecting on the servant of the Lord invites you and I to feel the breaks that you and I have within us and the breaks and separation that we see in all of our relationships. Second, turning to our own way deconstructs our lives. Turning away from God mars our image bearing of our God. Our wandering is what the scriptures call a twisting, a bending, a wounding, a crookedness. That sin, turning to our own way, not only breaks relationships, but breaks within us. Third, turning to our own way, our passage links to death. Turning to our own way is linked with death. In the opening book of the Bible, we hear dust to dust, ashes to ashes. Scripture tells us that death in our spirit and in our bodies is a result of humans seeking their own way, equating our desires with what is true, or replacing God's word with our own voice, our own ideas. The Lord said to our first parents, "By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of the ground you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." And we hear in the New Testament an explanation of that, saying that the wages of sin is death. The wages, the payment, the reward of our sin is death. Our passage invites us to reflect upon the effects of us turning our own way, of us going astray. It also invites us to remember that God, the Creator and Judge, is the Holy One who must stand against what is evil and must judge sin and iniquity. But what we're also invited to see is that the suffering servant, that while he was esteemed smitten by God, that this is not ultimately the final word for him, but rather his suffering was the God's chosen means to bring salvation to sinners. The servant serves God. The servant serves God by serving sinners like you and me, by taking the sinner's place, by taking the consequences of sin upon himself, of doing for the sinner what he or she could not do. It's a chance for us to think that whatever our sin, our iniquity, whether it's deep patterns of our lives or whether it's part of us being a chain of unfortunate choices, a community that collectively follows the wrong way, whatever that sin is within us or through us or around us, the servant embraces, accepts, and submits to the conditions and consequences of that sin. The servant takes that upon himself. It's worth us acknowledging that maybe some of us might have questions about that course of action. Isn't there a better way for things to be taken care of? Isn't there something more appropriate than the servant being crushed? Yet the servant of the Lord, the death of Jesus, this sacrificial suffering is the way that Isaiah's song presents to us, the way God acts to judge the sin of his people, the way God acts to make you and me righteous. As a way for us to reflect upon this news, this transformation that the servant offers. I mentioned that our passage speaks of sin as going our own way, sheep wandering. There's another image that the scriptures give us of sin, and that is the Apostle Paul speaks of it as clothing that we wear. That all humans, everyone that we'd meet, our neighbors, everyone that we encounter, he says they are wearing clothing, dressed in robes, in garments of sin. Garments of selfishness, tattered by our lies and our deceit, stained by our lust and our greed, dirtied by our malice and our rage. The clothes of our being, the clothes that we wear, have been marked and have been defiled. And we might imagine, if we can picture wearing these burdens, that we wear them each day, carrying these stains and carrying these burdens upon us. We might even say that for all of us, all people and all of life is in some way an attempt to deal with these tatters, to deal with the stains, to deal with the heavy burdens and the things that we seem not to be able to clean up or make go away. If you're like me, we can try to hide, but find that does not help. We can try to deceive ourselves, but find that that does not take away the stains. Or maybe we learn over time to compare ourselves to others in such a way that we can feel better about ourselves. But that does not take away the marks that are there. How do we clean these clothes? How do I handle the marks and the burdens upon me? How do I handle others seeing and knowing the dirt and the tatters? How do I face life of being unable to put these things away like I want to? Good Friday speaks these questions to you and to me. And our passage from Isaiah invites us to see that Jesus on the cross, because of his great love for you, chooses to take our dirtied, our stained and our tattered clothes, he takes them and puts them on himself. That he is slandered and rejected. In doing so, he's bearing our grief. He's dragging the heavy cross to the streets of Jerusalem, and in doing so, he's carrying your sin. And as he's nailed to the cross, he's being bound to your trespasses. And when he's taken down and wrapped in the burial cloth of death, he's submitting to your death and to the full wages of sin in your life. He, the servant of the Lord, has come to receive them, to wear them, to take them to the grave, to take them into the judgment of God for you and for me, that they might be put away now and forever, that in Jesus, by faith, we might be righteous before God. All of us own and we know the tattered and stained clothes, the burdens. The question that Good Friday offers to you and I is whether we will keep them for ourselves and try to clean them ourselves, or whether we'll give them to Jesus to wear. For he's come to wear the dirt and the marks and the stains of our lives, that he may speak hope to you and to me. Amen. Lord, we give you thanks that you are a God that comes into the depth of our sin, into our darkness. I pray that you would bring us the hope of your cross tonight. Amen.